Brother Michael already mentioned this morning, or this evening, thankful for the opportunity to back out this way this evening. Thankful for all the visitors that came out. They say more numbers tonight than we had last night. So those that are members here just need to keep staying out there and trying to keep begging and pleading for people to come to hear the word this week. And thankful for that. Thankful for everybody making their way out. Before we take up our reading lesson, preaching yesterday morning, I told them the message came to us 2 weeks ago, so we had time to sit and digest and think about that one. We left last night with nothing on our heart, nothing coming to our mind, but we woke up this morning with this on our mind. So I know those that are preachers, sometimes you have to wait. You really have to wait on the Lord to give you the message if it's to be a message that you want to. And sometimes we get a little, I guess, impatient ourselves, expecting it to come at a certain time or come so that we know we have some time in preparation. But we should put our trust in the Lord that everything will be all right. Before we take up our reading lesson, there's a thought that has come to our heart and our mind here out of the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. And it's the 26th verse of the 16th chapter. You can also find this same verse over in Mark. It may be worded just a little bit different in Mark. But Matthew 16 and 26 is the one that we wanted to read before we went into our reading lesson tonight. And the scriptures say here, and Jesus doing the speaking here, he says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his own soul?" And that's kind of the thought that has been placed upon our hearts here to try to put before us tonight. And we're going to flip over and take a reading lesson here out of the book of Luke. And Jesus, once again, doing a parable, Luke 12 here. Most people, I'm pretty sure, are very familiar with this parable and probably heard it several times. And those of you that have been in church probably heard it a lot of times. But we find here, beginning in the 16th verse of the 12th chapter of the book of Luke, and Jesus doing the speaking here to him once again, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." And we find here with mistakes made, this is reading Luke 12, 16 through 21 here. And we find here that Jesus is delivering a parable unto them here. And we find here that he tells them this story there because he taught in these stories because that was the best way that he could figure out how to talk with the people, because the knowledge that he had was so much that he was the Son of God. He knew everything. And he knew it in a higher plane, in a higher degree. And he had to do his best to get the things that his Father wanted him to say to these people. He had to get it down to their level. He had to bring it down so that they would understand what he was talking about. And he said here that there was a man here. He was a rich man, we can tell here. And he had gotten rich by the fruit and the labors of his hands and working here. We see that he was a rich and prosperous farmer there. And we find here that he goes through there. And this rich man had brought in so much that year, he didn't have anywhere to put it. And so what he said to himself, "I'm going to go and tear down my barns, and I'm going to build up more so that I can put all this more that I've got in there. And once this gets done, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to say to myself, so look at what I have done. Take rest. Be ease, eat, drink, and be merry there, and do whatsoever I feel like doing there." But we see here that God comes on the scene there, and God came to him there. And that God said, "Thou fool, your soul be required of thee tonight there." And he said there that whosoever should bring up are those, who shall those things be which
cell has provided. What's going to happen to all this stuff that you filed up there? Your soul is going to be required of me tonight. And as we studied and we thought about this and we preached on this, before this man had done everything in his life, he had made preparation for the things of life that he needed down here on this earth. But we find here that he left off one thing. He had forgotten to seek God for the salvation of his own soul. He built up and piled up everything that he had down here on this earth. He was worried about the pleasures and the desires of this earth, but he left off seeking God there. He probably kept putting it off, thinking, I can do it another convenient season. I can do it another day. Then it'll be all right. I've got time. I've got to worry about these things down here. I've got time to worry about God there. But we find out at night God came on the scene and said, I'm coming for you. Death is coming for you. And you're not prepared. And what happened to this rich man here? He probably split hell wide open because he didn't make preparation there. Well, you can find that it goes through there and it talks about, if you go a little bit further there, down in Luke it talks about a rich man and a poor man by the name of Lazarus there. This rich man here was in the same condition here as this man. He had everything in this world that he wanted. He could go out and buy what he wanted. The poor man sat out there outside of his gates and was just happy to eat the crumbs that rolled off his table and was fine living out there and having the dogs lick off his sores there. But the rich man, we find that it says there at the time both of those died there. And it says there in Luke that the poor man by the name of Lazarus was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And then it goes down there and says the rich man died. And he was buried. And then it says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes of being in torment there. And he could see what was going on. There was a great gulf fixed between him and where the poor man was. He seen Lazarus up there in glory. He seen what was going on. He sat there and begged him to take a tip of water, put it on his finger, put it on his tongue there, that he would be taken care of there, just so he could have a drink there. And then he keeps on pleading with me, says, send someone back to my brothers. I've got five brothers out there. They're in the same condition that I am. Send that poor man back just to show them who you are. That they'll know and they'll be saved and they won't come down here to where I'm at. And God looked at him and said, they have Moses and they have the law and they have the guys. They've got to seek him there. But we find here two rich men. What did they do? They sold after the prophet of the world. And they lost their own soul there, was the thought that we're making there. We live today in a society of people who live up to what that rich man said there. Eat, drink, and be married. They're more concerned about piling up riches down here than they are about their own soul there. That they would rather have the pleasures of this life. That they'd rather have the money. That they'd rather have all these things than to seek the salvation of their very souls there. And they think there they've got another day there. If you go on and you read a little bit further there in Luke, it says there concerning these people who think they have another day. They have another opportunity for salvation. You find over here in Luke 12, he goes on further there. And he says there, blessed are those servants, 37th verse, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them, so blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. But ye therefore be ye there ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not there. You see there, you've got a man there. He's coming back. Christ died on that cross to take the salvation of all mankind upon him there. But he told them there, he said, I'm coming back. I'm going to prepare you a place. And when I go to prepare you a place, I'm coming back to get you there. And we find here that he was talking, and he used a parable here once again to tell them there that if a person knew the very hour, the very minute that the thief was going to come to your house and break through and steal everything you had, what would you do? You'd set a watch. You'd be sitting there waiting for him. You'd have the cops sitting there waiting with you. If you didn't have that, you'd have some other form of protection to take care of that thief when he comes in. And then what did he say to her? He said to her, you need to know there that he will come back at a time that nobody will think about.
Yeah.
He's coming back at a time when nobody thinks of. And he's telling you that you better be prepared. You better be ready there. He could come back right now if he wanted to. If he wanted to, and God looked at him and said, son, go get my children. That eastern sky would split and he'd come back. Where would you be?
Amen.
Where would you be? Those of us that are redeemed, we know what will happen. We'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye if we're alive there. And we see that those that are lost and undone without him, he will look at them and say, I never knew you, depart from me. And cast them off into the lake of fire there. We see that that'll happen there. That's what's going to happen. You can believe it. And we know that we sit there and we look and say, how can God be a person who would do that to somebody? How could God send a soul to hell? Well, you go back there and you study there in the beginning there that God created a man by the name of Adam. And Adam there was a perfect being walking there in the garden. And Adam chose to disobey God there. He chose to break the one rule that God gave him by eating of the tree that he was told not to. And by one man's sin, sin came to us all. We're all the sons and daughters of Adam, and we take that sin upon us. There comes a time in our lives that the Lord will let us know that we are lost and separated from him, and we've got to find him. We've got to find him. And that's the reason why we have these books here. And that's the reason why he gives the lessons here to tell us how to find him. That's the reason why he chose the foolishness of something that's preaching to try to get out his gospel and his word to people there. We find that you sit there and people, and I know the question's been asked, how can God send them to hell there? He don't want to.
Amen.
He don't want to. He don't want to send any soul to hell whatsoever. You flip over into the book of Ezekiel here in the Old Testament there. And God was talking to the prophet Ezekiel here in the 18th chapter and 23rd verse. He said, and it's God asking the question there. He said, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? And he goes on through a discourse talking about what man should be doing and how man should turn from his iniquity there in love. And then he should come and try to find that God there. And we find he answers his own question there in the 32nd verse. He says, for I have no pleasure in the death of him that dies, saith the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye. God don't want to send nobody to hell. He wants them all saved and back into a fellowship with him. He wouldn't have sent his son if he didn't want people saved and back into fellowship with him. He would not have done that. If he wanted all his people to die and go off to hell, he wouldn't have had done anything after Adam ate that tree. But God made a way.
Amen.
God made a way to save lost souls there. But we have people there that sit out and think. And they think that they have time. They think that they've got an opportunity. But you know what? You ain't guaranteed the next minute. You ain't guaranteed the next breath that comes out of your mind there. And you sit there and people sit there and think it's almost been 2,000 years since Christ went up to heaven to prepare that place. We got all the time in the world. That's what people think. Now, you sit there and you look and you read there. We was in a Sunday school there. We didn't get to those scriptures in 1 John 2 there. But they were talking about that the end times, at that very time, those people were afraid that he was coming back at any moment. They were afraid that he was coming back at any moment. We're at ease. We don't think he's coming back. We've gotten lazy. But you know what? God is not a respecter of persons. He don't care about the age. You can live 1 minute on this earth, or you can live 120 years. But the Scripture says the wages of sin is death.
Amen.
You sit there and you see from the moment you're born. And I think about that. My son's birthday's coming up tomorrow. And I think about that often. What I think about kids is this. When you're born, the moment you come out and take that first breath, you start dying.
Amen.
We are born to die. Amen. And those of us that will not die, those of us that will see Him coming back, we're not guaranteed that we'll see Him come back before somebody, and we'll taste death in here. We're all going to taste death if He doesn't come back while we're alive there. But you see that the body gets older. It gets weaker with time. That is the wages of sin there. The sin makes us go that way. It makes our bodies do that there. We find there that you got to find God there because that soul is regenerated every day. Those of you that's been saved by Him. It never gets old. The soul will go old. The soul will last there in heaven. It will last there in a new body there in the resurrection. And you know what? That soul that was dying and gone off to hell, it'll have a new body. Well, feel that fire. You think it's hot out here. You think it's hot and it's getting hotter and hotter out here. That don't even compare to the heat of hell.
Amen.
It said that the worm dies not there. You can't quench their thirst there over there. Luke, it says that. That's what you got to look forward to if you've lost and you undone without Him. Yeah. But you know what you see here? This man, he kept putting it off. He kept putting it off. He kept putting it off. Kept putting it off. Kept putting it off. And his life was required of him. God don't respect your age. He don't respect your time. I've seen it. Most of us all have probably sat here and seen it in our lives. We've seen infants die. You've seen children die. You've seen teenagers die. People in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. Should we keep on up through the numbers there? God don't care when it's time for Him to come for you. He's going to come for you. And if you ain't prepared, it's going to go straight to hell. That's where you will go if you're unprepared. You will finally make that final sin against God, which is the sin of unbelief, and that's what He will send your soul to hell for. He gave you the time. He gave you the opportunity. But like we said here, this man waited on to later in his life. I know you can sit here and think about and study the time frame of the people back there. This man was probably not a very young man because he couldn't have been that rich at that young. So he had to have some age on him. So he's had an opportunity. He's had time to do so. But he chose not to. You go over and you look in the book of Ecclesiastes there, in the 12th chapter. It says here in the 12th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, remember now thy Creator, in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it there. Now we see there that he's saying there, you need to seek God in your youth there. When you're at a young and tender age there. When you don't have the cares of the world on your heart there. Those that have been older and have waited later into life to get saved. They talk about, you can hear through their testimonies, how they should have sought Him when they were younger. How it was so much harder for them to let go of things there when they were in their old age. They had to worry about all these things of the life there. A young age, a young child there, when the heart is tender and it is turned toward those things of God. It has an opportunity. It'll have to seek Him to find Him there. But just like everybody else there, of we find there that they don't have the cares of the world on their mind. They don't have to worry about what they got to do at work. They ain't got to worry about pleasing a spouse, whether it be their husband or their wife. They don't have to worry about raising kids. They don't have to worry about doing their job. They don't have to worry about bills. They don't have to worry about all these things. They don't have to worry about the ailments and the things that come along with old age there. They don't have to worry about it that time. And that's the reason why he was telling them there. But we believe that Solomon wrote this. He said, remember him now in your youth while you have the time there. Because what did it say there? Oh, what's the end of man there? It said, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. What's it say there? Man was formed out of the dust of the ground, and dust shall he return. But when God breathed into Adam there, it said he breathed a soul into Adam that brought him to life there. And it was a living soul there inside of Adam. That soul is going to return back to God who gave it, if they're redeemed. If they're redeemed. If they're not redeemed, they'll see to listen to him say, depart from me. And they will see and be cast off into the lake of fire once again there. It says there to remember the Creator in the days of the youth there. You need to seek and find him while you can, while you have a time, and while you have an opportunity there. The other thought that came there to us there, that we was thinking and trying to study there over in 2 Corinthians in the 6th chapter here. In the 2nd verse it says this. It says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Today is the opportunity to get saved if he's dealing with you. If he's come in there and just told you that you're lost and you're separated from him. And you know you're in a condition that if you die this very instant that you split hell wide open, you need to seek him. He's here with an outstretched hand waiting on you. Waiting on you to come to him and turn it over to him. All you got to do is come and turn it over to him. Let go of everything in this world. Let it all go and give it over to him, and he'll take care of the rest. He'll give you the peace that passeth all understanding, that you don't have to worry anymore about where your soul will go when you die. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. This world we live in gets more wicked every day, does it not? Can you not pay attention and see that? Or do you think you're shielded and protected? All those things that you see on the news can happen here. They can happen back home. We always want to think that's a big city problem. It can happen in the very home that you're in, those things that are going on. It could be the person that walks into your school and shoots them up. It's a possibility. They did it last year, did they not? They went right into an elementary school and shot it up full of kids. You don't think that couldn't happen? That was just a small little community there. Think about that. We can do everything we can to try to protect our schools, but we can't completely protect them. And now the devil's going after who? That shows you who the devil's going after. He's going after the children. He's going after the little ones. He's going after them. Seek him while you have the time and opportunity. What profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? You can gain everything down here. You can have all the money in the world, and what's going to happen to it? Where's it going to go? They don't put luggage racks on funeral, on hearses. You ever notice that? People's possessions ain't packed up on top of a hearse and they're getting buried with it. That goes to somebody else. That goes to somebody else and becomes somebody else's burden, somebody else's headache, somebody else's problem. But if you gained all that wealth that you gained will not buy you a place in the heaven.
Amen.
It will not buy you a place in the heaven. The only thing that can get you into the heaven is the application of that blood upon thy soul, thy heart there. We see there, if you go back over and you read the Old Testament there, the Passover. The reason why it was so important there, you find there the first time that it came through Egypt there, they had to take blood of a lamb, applied to the doorpost and the lintel. And when the death angel saw the blood, he passed over them. What do you think that means there? When he sees the blood applied to your soul, he will pass over you. You will have a with him. You will have a home with him, and it'll be much better than that other one. The ones that didn't have the blood of blood, what happened to them? Death. Death came to the firstborn there. That was symbolism there in the Old Testament of a lamb to come that would be slain on the cross, that his blood must be applied to our hearts that we come back into communion with him. Today is the day of salvation. Seek him while you have the time, while you have the opportunity. What profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Amen. This altar is a good place to come and seek him. There's a reason we have it in our churches. It is a symbol of a place where a lost sinner can come and bow down and repent before God. But he can save anywhere. But we have this up here to give people the opportunity to do so. And if you're here and you're lost and you're undone without him, I beg and plead with you. Seek him while you have the time. While you have the opportunity. Seek him while he may be found. He can come and get you tonight. You ain't guaranteed of that. You ain't guaranteed to walk out of these doors here when we say that benediction. I've watched a man die in church house before. Sitting on the front seat of a church there. Had a heart attack, fell out on the floor and was dead. Right in the middle of a revival. It can happen. The death angel comes at an appointed time that God has set for you. And if you knew what that appointed time was, you'd make preparation for it, wouldn't you? You'd make preparation for it. But we don't know that. That's what our human body is. We know something's going to happen, we'll take care of it. Well, we've got something very precious to us that we have got to take care of, and that is our soul. And it better be on the Lord's side when that death angel comes, because the wages of sin is death. Seek him while you have a time and opportunity. This altar's open. We can't save you. Brother Mike can't save you. Amen. Only Jesus Christ can save you. He is the only one that can save you.
Amen.
But you've got to come and seek him and meet his conditions. Meet his conditions to be saved. Is the blood applied to your heart? Is the blood applied to your heart? Will he pass over you on that day? Will he pass over you? So, and will it go to Abraham's bosom? Will it go to that long home that Solomon talked about there in Ecclesiastes? Is it going to go there? Or is it going to go to the other place? Is it going to go to hell? And it will be there forever.
Forever.
You've got to think about that. Our little feeble minds can't even think about it perfect. We can't even think about it. They even use, if I remember right, correct from my mathematics classes, they even try to use a symbol to show that. But they still can't show it. They still can't show it. We can't grasp what eternity is. Seeking while you have a time and opportunity. If you would, get a song. This altar's open. This altar's open. We'll have an altar call here.